Rabbosai, I want to just talk a little bit about some of halachos of tefillin, beginning in Simin Chav Zayin. Where do you put on the tefillin? So you put the tefillin on the left hand. The makom on the left hand where you put the tefillin is supposed to be between the kovdo, which is the elbayin, and that's called the elbow. Mishmar uses the word elbayin and the beis hashechi and the underarm, and the tefillin should be tilted towards the body. And in this way, you fulfill the din of a hayu hadvarim ha'ila al vavecha. It should face the heart. The Gemara has a number of sources for this din. Or a number of sources that lead to this din. The fact is that the tefillin shel rosh is supposed to be gova harosh. We learn that the tefillin shel rosh, there's a sign actually in the base medrash down the hall. You don't put the tefillin shel rosh over here, but you put the tefillin shel rosh up on the area with head. We learn now from srita, etc., seret, nefesh. Now, the Gemara then asks, should we put maybe the tefillin on the pas hayad, on the hand? The Gemara says, no, it should be in the place of meaning if it's on my hand, that's an area that's exposed. It should be an area that's concealed, which is the top of the arm. It should also be keneged halev. It should also be, The idea of being keneged halev also leads to the fact that the tefillin should be tilted towards the lave. These are the basic halachos. The Ramah adds, and the Mishnah Berurah comments that the Mechaber agrees to this idea, that you don't put the tefillin the entire space between the elbow and the base hashachi and the underarm. You put the tefillin on the lower half of the bicep closer to the bottom. The lower half of the bicep that's closer to the bottom, you should not put it on the upper part of the bicep. That's the halacha according to the Ramah. And again, the Mishnah Berurah comments that the Mechaber agrees to this idea. Where does this idea of the lower part of the bicep come from? The Gemara only says the three drushes that we had before, that it should be lamaila, right? It should be mechusa, that it should be keneged halev, right? It sounds like the entire upper arm. Where do we get the idea that half of the bicep? So this comes from the Shemush Rabbah. The Shemush Rabbah is one of the Svarim of the Gaonim that carries a lot of weight in Hilchos Tefillin. The Shemush Rabbah writes the tefillin should be biplag zroa, halfway through the zroa. The Shemush Rabbah is accepted by the Smak, and that this makes it to the Shulchan Aruch, even though the vast majority of Rishonim, all the Rishonim practically, the Bir Halacha has a lengthy discussion. Are there Rishonim who really hold like this Shemush Rabbah other than the Smak? And in this Sefer, this is an excellent Sefer on Tefillin, the Tefillah LeMoshe, Rav Kreiser. He was actually, he came to Yeshiva a few years ago to do like a Tefillin demonstration. He's like a Jew in Eretz Yisrael. Mamish, an excellent Sefer. So in the Tefillah LeMoshe, he just goes to the whole Rishonim. Almost all the Rishonim say it should be halfway through the arm. And where do you get this notion of the lower part of the bicep? So there are different ways of saying it. When I speak about the makom of the tefillin, it should be from the elbow until the underarm. Well, what's the underarm? Does the underarm mean the underarm? Does the underarm mean, let's say, the shoulder? Right, that could be a big difference, right? Because when you cheshbon it out, you could end up with only the lower part of the bicep being exactly the halfway. It happens, I should note, that the Gra disagrees with this entire thing. The Gra holds that the tefillin can go on the entire bicep. It doesn't matter the upper part of the bicep, the lower part of the bicep. This is the Gra on Eis Zayin in Shulchan Aruch, and it's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, I believe, in Se'if Chatin, Sifkot and Dalin and Sifkot and Yud. The Gra holds that the entire bicep is kosher for tefillin. And the Gra understands that when the Shemush Rabbah says Palga Zeroa, he doesn't mean half of the bicep, he means half of the arm. Right? That is half of the space between elbow and underarm is half of the, that's the plague zroa that the Shemusha Rabbah references. The poskim give a measurement of how you get the plague zroya, or how you get the lower part of the body. So they say it's like two fingers, ish kefi mashahu, is the beginning of the zroa. This is the beginning of the bicep. So I put two fingers by my elbow, and that's basically where the bicep begins. It's a big challenge if you have a bar mitzvah kid, or a kid who can barely make a muscle. Like, where exactly is the bicep? It's really not pashut. The Chaya Adam writes that if you put the tzon on the upper part of the bicep, you're not yotze. Or you don't make a bracha, I should say. The Mishnah Brura sounds like b'diavad, you can make a bracha. But nonetheless, the Mishnah Brura is very upset with those people who put the tefillin on the upper part of the bicep. Give me a second. And the Mishnah Brura gives a long harangue, therefore you should not have big tefillin. Because if you have big tefillin, it's not shy if you get the entire big tefillin, the lower part of the bicep. That's what he writes. Some people try to have very small tefillin in order to really get on the lower part of the bicep. Additionally, the mekubalim try to wear two pairs of tefillin at the same time, both the Rashi's and the Rabbeinu Tam's. You can't do that if you have big tefillin. So they have very small tefillin. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and the Halacha of Shlomo is not into this. He says you shouldn't change the minhag of asiyas tefillin. You shouldn't change the way tefillin have been made for generations. Don't make tefillin smaller than they were. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Lamed Beis, if katan kuf pei tes, points out that if you're going to make the tefillin very small, the parashios are likely going to be problematic. Because to make the tefillin very small, the parashios are going to kim'at, it's hard to write that small in the kosher sort of way. Okay, all is grand. If you've ever seen the Lubavitcher, so they have these very large tefillin. No? Where on earth do they get this practice of very large tefillin? Now, I should say that our great-grandfathers, or your great-grandfathers, my grandfather, had larger tefillin than we have. Our tefillins are roughly, they come in the sizes of like 34, right? 34 is 34 millimeters, which is 3.4 centimeters. Right, math guy? Right? They comes in 34s or 36s. Well, Lubavitchers end up being around 42s or 44s. Where does this come from? So it comes from a din in Siman Lamed Beis, if Lamed Tes. Right? Siman Lamed Beis is the Siman Baksivas tefillin. In Lamed Beis, Lamed Tes, it says that there is a halacha meishim Sinai that the tefillin should be square, and lamed beis mem aleph. I apologize. It says orech veruchav habatan begovan ein lo shear. There's no shear for the length and the width of the batan. Nonetheless, Mishnah Berurah Kuf Pei Tes writes, but the Ga'anim say it should not be smaller than etzba'ayim al etzba'ayim, and we're assuming that an etzba is a godel. If you measure your thumb, it will end up being roughly a centimeter. No? Some say that it should be four gudlim by four gudlim. There's also a machlokes when they speak about two gudlim by two gudlim. The Mishnah Berurah assumes that the two gudlim by two gudlim references the titura, right? If you remember, the bayis has like a lower part. It's ke'ilu the mizbeach. There's like a lower part, then there's the actual bayis. So the Mishnah Berurah assumes that the etzba'ayim al etzba'ayim goes by the titura. The Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch writes that etzba'ayim al etzba'ayim, or the dalar etzba'ayis by dalar etzba'ayis, goes on the bayis itself. So the Chabad practice, and by the way, it's not only Chabad. A number of Hasidim are into this practice. The Chabad practice is that they feel that should be dalet etzbos by dalet etzbos, and they don't use the titura. They use the top of the bias as the measuring area. Now, obviously, then you have the concern of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says that no part of the tefillin should go lower than the makom. Let's say the gra is right. It's funny. The Chabad's fill-in only work according to the gra. No? Right? Because the gra is the one who says the entire bicep counts. There's no way Chabad's fill-in is going to work if you start, right, like the standard understanding of the Shimusha Rabbi, you start halfway in the middle of the bicep. Right? It only works according to the gra. The whole bicep counts. So, the Chabad tefillin, even, right, you hold it should be 4 by 4, and you hold by the bias, not by the, you're going to, and you hold by the bias, not by the tutor, you're going to likely get into a problem, according to the Mishnah Berurah, that no part of the tefillin should go lower than the makom of the tefillin. So you have to say, I thought the pshat is, that Chabad is assuming that it's all based on the bias. That means the titura doesn't count in that shear. Meaning, so long as my bias, let's say, is above the lowest part of my bicep, even though the titura protrudes lower, that's probably going to be okay. It is a little bit strange. People who wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, they come in two forms. I think the standard Sfaradic Mahalach wearing Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, remember, according to Mekubon, you wear Rabbeinu Tam, right, together. In order to do that, you need smaller tefillin, right? The Hasidim who wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin wear larger tefillin, hence, they're going to have to wear them one after the other. They can't wear them at the same time. The Gemara writes, there's a makom for based tefillin. You can wear two zugos of tefillin at once, right? That, by the way, makom of based tefillin, the Gemara in Erevin, is why the Ga'inim say, and why the Mishnah Berurah Paskins there in Lamed Beis Sifkat and Kuf Pei Tes, Mishnah Berurah Paskins, the tefillin cannot be smaller than an etzba by an etzba. Right? Etzba by etzba is mamish the minimum. Because if it's smaller than that, you could technically have 3 pairs of tefillin on that area. The Gemara says there's only 2 pairs of tefillin. I remember years ago in yeshiva, there was a Rebbe here in the high school, Rabbi Suna. So Rabbi Suna walked into the Beis Medrash one day, and I think he was retiring then. He wanted to show the whole yeshiva. He had a tiny pair of tefillin, not much tiny, that were Marano tefillin. Like the Maranos, they're hidden Jews, and they wore, obviously you can have tiny, tiny tefillins that no one could see that you're wearing tefillin. Mamish tiny. So what's the pshat? The pshat obviously is that they didn't know that there's a shir lamata. No? This whole chesh in the Mishnah Berurah, making tiny tefillin, this man has a theoretically, I think, they have, what are these things called, micro writing? Right? It is technically possible you could be ma'amin as yotcha to write tiny, tiny, very, very small. Right? So maybe you could have smaller tefillin. And Rabbi Shlomo says not to do this. Don't cast aspersions on the minhag of, what's it called, have a larger tefillin. Don't try to make the tefillin so small. But one could hold that this tefillin could be an etzba by an etzba. That's 1 centimeter by 1 centimeter. Not smaller. The Marano tefillin were smaller than that. Right? How do you cheshbon this out? Obviously, 2 ways. Either they weren't keeping halacha, they were trying valiantly, but they weren't keeping halacha the way we understand it. Alternatively, they assume that the 2 pairs of tefillin is normal sized tefillin, and theoretically you can have smaller tefillin. That's not really against the Gemara. Right? Mistama, you're going to find tefillin b'shuk. It's going to be the normal sized tefillin. Yeah, Mr. Pellantroy.
So you learn halacha from, like, being able to go into churches and being able to do all sorts of things.
Again, they didn't have a choice. And, like, again, yeah, one of the big kashas is the Maranos, right? There are 2 different mesorahs of how to deal with Christianity. The Ashkenazi mesorah was to avoid Christianity at all costs. There are even Ashkenazim who we idolize or lionize who actually killed themselves, Rahman wa Tzlan, killed their children. Pashtus is it's against the halacha, right? Right? The Balei HaTesis, Pashtus Noach, quote, that there were those who killed their children, right? In some of the Kindles and Tisha B'Av, we say this. So the Ashkenazi mahalach was, we'll treat Christianity, mamish, like Avodah Zarah Gemurah, etc. The Sfaradi mahalach was that they would not do so. Even though the Rambam passes that Christianity is Mamash HaBodhisara, but the fact that there were Muranos and these people were not really looked down upon, right? You know, expulsion from Spain, expulsion from Spain, 1492, expulsion from Portugal, 1497. In the Sephardic tradition, the Muranos are not looked so down upon. Many people, in Kiddush Hashem, in the sense of like killing your children, etc., is not a Sephardic ideal. It's an Ashkenazi ideal, and it's the opposite of the Mahalach of the Muranos.
But the Sephardim called the Muranos Muranos, which means
spy. Right, I understand. I thought it was the regular Spanish people called them swine. I don't think it was the Sephardi Jews called them swine. My understanding is, again, I'm not such a historian, and certainly my knowledge of history in this region of the world at this time period is very, very low. But nonetheless, my understanding is that they didn't look down on the Muranos so much. And the Sephardic tradition was... Right, remember, the Rambam writes in Igaret Teiman, right, that you people are, you're wrong, the Rambam says, but the Rambam is like Malam Eitzchus on them. He tries to encourage them, etc. Right? So I think the Sephardic tradition does not look as down on the Shemar element as the Ashkenazi tradition does. Say that. So that's what we had. There is another din, back to Simon Chav Zayin. It says that the Minhag HaNachon, Chav Zayin Sif Beis, Minhag HaNachon is that the Yud of the Tfilin, the Yud of the Kesher, the Tfilin Shel Yad, should be Keneged Halev, and the Tfilin itself should be Letzad Chut. So I have the Kesher closer to my heart, and the Tfilin towards the outside, and you should be Yeshli Zaher, Shelotazos Yud Shel Kesher, Mehat Tfilah. You should be very careful that the yud doesn't separate from the tefillin. Okay, the din is quoted as a minhag, minhag hanachon. The Vilna Gaon assumes it's not just a minhag. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this Gaon Ois Zayin. The Gaon assumes it's not just a minhag, it's me'ikar hadin. The Gemara in Menachas Lamed Hayim Beis. The Gemara writes, Vitzarech HaKesher Shiel Maila V'lo Lamata U'Klape Pnim V'lo Klape Chutz. Right? Those are two lines in the Gemara. The Kesher should be above, not below. And it should be Klape Pnim, not Klape Chutz. So what does that mean? So Rashi, and many Rishonim understand that this Gemara is talking about the Tfilin Shel Rosh. So they say the Kesher should be Lamata, not Lamata, means the Kesher of the Tfilin Shel Rosh should be on the hairy area, not on the neck, not on the bottom. And when I say it should be Lefnim, not Letzad Chutz, it's like the Gemara has later on in Menachos about one of the Amoraim was Ishapchalei Ritzua, that the Ritzua twisted around. You should have the nice part of the Ritzua on the outside. Right? That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. However, the Rosh and the Nemuke Yosef on Daf Ches Amir Aleph in the Dabei Harif there in Menachos, they understand that the Gemara is talking about the Tefillin Shel Yad, not the Tefillin Shel Rosh. Now, if that's the Pshat, the Tefillin is Shel Yad, so what that means is the Kesher should be Klapei Pnim, not Klapei Chutz, towards the inside of my body, and it should be Lamaila, not Lamata, meaning the Kesher should be above the Titura. And if it's above the Titura, then it should be touching, right? That's the way the Gra understands the dinim. The Gra Ois Zayin understands that the idea is that it's Medina de Gemara. It's not just a Minhag Tov, it's Medina de Gemara that the Kesher should be Lamala of the Shel Yad, right? Lamala Lamata, and Lefanim Velola Achar, meaning it should be closer to the body. That's the Gra's understanding. It's about the Shel Yad, not about the Shel Rosh. The Zohar writes that you should be very careful that the Kesher, the Tefillin, should be Tzamud to the Tefillin. And even when you are not wearing the Tefillin, the Kesher should always be connected to the Tefillin. Based on this, many people have a gid that they tie. They tie like a sinew to keep the kesher connected to the bayis, right? The Shari Tshuva writes, even when it is not on, right? Shari Tshuva Ozhei. He quotes, "Shelo tazus hayud la'olam afil biyosam munachin b'toch hakis." Okay, no hagin rabbi miyirei Hashem, likshar hayud imchut shogid im hatfilin. And you shouldn't just tie it with the ritzua, because if you tie it with the ritzua, that's only when you're wearing the tefillin. You should tie it with the gid, so it's like that the whole time. Mishnah Berurah hates the gid idea. Mishnah Berurah Se'if Katin Yud says, if you're going to do a gid, you're going to end up getting into a chatzitza. Because you do a gid, you're going to tie the kesher up. Some of the gid is going to protrude underneath the tefillin. So you have a chatzitza between your hand and the tefillin. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah really does not like this. The minhag ha'olam of having a gid does it in such a way that you avoid the Mishnah Berurah's problem, that the gid that goes through the ma'abarta, it doesn't go at the bottom of the tefillin, and that way there's no concern for chatzitza.
I wonder, since my bar mitzvah, what that thing is on my tefillin. I've never known.
It's so good to know. Okay, so it's kedai just for that. So the yud is supposed to be connected to the tefillin. Again, the Gra understands that that's how we learn the Gemara, and it's me dino de Gemara, etc. The Zohar is maflig ma'od in this, and that's why people have the gid. The Chazanish didn't like the gid. So the Chazon Ish used to take a piece of leather and stick it into the Mabarta, like stuff it in very tight, so that the Kesher would be Muhudak to the Bayis. There's a further discussion, if you look in the Derishu Mishnah Berurahs, that is it sufficient if the Kesher touches the Titurah? Does it actually have to touch the Bayis? If the Gra is right, I thought, that the source of this is the Gemara, so when we say the Kesher should be Lamaila, that means Lamaila Menat Titura, so that means touching the Titura L'chor is sufficient, it doesn't actually have to touch the Bayis. That you can accomplish without a Gid. Right? If you hold that the Kesher just has to touch the Titura, you can accomplish that without the Gid. Okay, one of the more complicated sugyas in Maseches Menachos is which hand do you wear your tefillin on? Now, this comes up in two ways. It comes up in the context, or three ways. It comes up in the context of someone who me'eza sibashi, he can't wear tefillin on his left arm. Let's say the person, he doesn't have a left arm. Right? Let's say the person is a gidin. Right? Let's say the person has a real maka on the left arm. That is discussed in Shulchan Aruch, Simchav Zayin, Se'if Zayin. But there is also the more common case, which is the Iter Yad, the lefty. Now, why do I wear tefillin on my left hand? So there are two sources in Gemara for this, right? The Torah writes, V'hayu lo'oza yodcha, the word yodcha is written with an extra hey, right? That teaches me Yad Keha, it should be my weaker hand. There's another reason that's quoted in the Gemara, uksharetem uksavtem, right? Meaning that we compare the tying of the tefillin to the writing of the tefillin, to the writing. I shouldn't say writing of the tefillin, to writing. That would mean, right, for most people, ksiv is biyamin. So therefore, tefillin goes b'smol. The Gemara has a stira, right? One Gemara says that your meiniach bismolo shehu smol kol adam. Another Gemara says you should be meniach bismolo, which is yamin kol adam. The Gemara answers is different between sholik b'shtei yadav and not sholik b'shtei yadav. When you sholik b'shtei yadav, you put the tefillin on smol, which is smolo shehu kol adam. If you're not sholik b'shtei yadav, you put the tefillin on the yamin, right, which is your smol but yamin of kol ha'olam, right. In other words, if I'm sholik b'shtei yadav, I put tefillin on the normal hand, which is the left arm. If I'm not sholik b'shtei yadav, so then I put tefillin on my right arm. Now, how I figure out whether I'm sholik b'shtei yadav or not depends on these two drushes. The Rabbeinu Yechiel of Paris and the Tour assume that the Ikar is the Ksiva, that the Ikar drasha is Ukshartem Uksavtem. The Mishnah Berurah, by the way, comments that if you take this drasha seriously, it should mean the hand that you write Sifrei Torah with. Right? Let's say you could have someone who could write like normal writing with one hand, but right, very careful, fine writing, you write with the left hand. So the pashtus of the Kshatim Ksavtim be Ksivas Tfil, no one says that. The assumption is it has to do with like most of your writing. Okay, Zozan. But Rabbeinu Yechiel and the Tour assume that it depends on the writing. The Sefer HaKshruma, and it's quoted in the Rush, said it depends on Ikar Melachto. Now, the Mechaber of Zayin Se'ifvav quotes two opinions. The first opinion is that Iter Yad Yemino, if you're also Kol Melachto, Bismol, so Yemeneach Tefillin Bismola, which is Yamin Kol Adam, which it means it depends on Kol Melachto, and Kol Melachto means Rov Melachto. The second opinion in the Mechaber is Yesh Omrim, Shayat Shakosev Ba, Hi Chashuva. Right, that depends, like Rabbi Yechiel, on the writing. Mechaber has two opinions, isn't Mechriya. According to Klalim that some have within the Mechaber, when you have a Yesh Omrim, a Yesh Omrim, and you fold the Yesh Omrim in Basra, that would mean that depends on the writing. The Rama writes that the Minhag is like the second opinion, that depends on writing. But if I assume it depends on writing, so there's a machlokes between the Bach and the Magen Avraham. The Bach assumes that even Rabbeinu Yechiel does not say it only depends on writing. Rabbeinu Yechiel does not ignore the drasha of Yad Keha. Rabbeinu Yechiel says, though, that if I write with one hand and I do malachas with the other hand, then I'm called a sholat b'shtei yadav, and then I put tefillin on my left. The only time I put tefillin on my right is when I both write with my left hand and I do rav malachas with my left hand. That's the only time I put tefillin on my right. According to Rabbeinu Yechiel, as understood by the Bach, you need two conditions to put the tefillin on the right hand. The Magen Avraham disagrees. Magen Avraham says that this sheet of Rabbeinu Yechiel says it only has to do with ksiva. You don't need ksiva and sha'ar malachas. So now, when I put things together, you could end up with very complicated shaylas. Right? You have somebody, let's say, who bangs in nails with a hammer, uses the right hand, writes with the left hand, eats with the fork in the left hand. No? You could have, like, you could, it mamish gets complicated. There's also another issue that complicates things, which is when I talk about being a righty or a lefty, is that the way I'm born? Or does that depend on Misha Ma'amin Es Yadav? That's also a big discussion in the Polskim. These shilas are very complicated, Ladina. But you really have to ask a Posek. If you do a certain amount of malachas one hand, certain amount of malachas the other hand, what does it mean that you do malachas? Does it mean you can't do malachas with the other hand? Does it mean you do it not as well? Does it mean, right? It's not abundantly clear, all these things. The Mishnah Berurah understands Sholei Pishtei Yadav, Mamish or Sholei Pishtei Yadav entirely, equally, everything is the same. That's the Mishnah Berurah. You have shailas like this, so you got to ask a posek. The Maharsham was the great place it can go, it's, yeah? The Tefillah Lemoshe has an arichos about all that chareinu into the Maharsham. Maharsham says that you should put tefillin on with hands when you have these shailas. I remember as a kid, as a counselor in Marash HaKolal, I had a camper. It was actually now a very big Talmud Chacham. He like lives in Israel. Here's my camper then. Ephraim Kilstein, his name was. So Kilstein used to put tefillin on both hands. Right? He asked his posek. He davened in Rabbi Sabalovsky's shul after Rabbi Sabalovsky wasn't the Rav there anymore. Before, yeah, Rabbi Sabalovsky started with the Shul Paramus and he moved to Teaneck. So he would put tefillin on both hands. Now, when I put tefillin on both hands, do I need two shel yads? The din is the ma'abarita is supposed to be on top. Or the minhag is the ma'abarta, the place where the ritzuah goes through, should be on top. I could technically use the same pair of tefillin and just have the ma'abarta at the bottom. No? I could do it like that. Now, it happens that the Sefer Emek Bracha raises an objection. No, we'll leave it like this. But you could technically flip it over. This guy would have one pair of tefillin. He'd flip it over, put it on his other hand afterwards. Do you have to take off your shorosh when you change it? The din is a kozman shebeni necha yushnayim. So in the tefillin of Moshe, he has a shtikla Torah, where he says that the din of kozman shebeni necha yushnayim is only when you're planning on taking them off. You shouldn't take off your shoyad first. Trying to take them off in Gansen. But if I'm keeping the show rosh on, or if I'm only wearing a show rosh and not putting on a show yad at all, then there's no din of kozman shebein enefi yushnayim, right? We spoke about this, the picture of Rav Goren at the Kotel, right? He's only wearing a show rosh, not a show yad, right? If I'm taking it off, so then I take off my show rosh first. But if I'm not fully taking it off, so I can keep my show rosh on and then flip the hands, that's what this guy used to do. Again, these shaylas about what makes you a lefty or not are complicated. Okay, gentlemen, we're good? We're good. Okay.